Well, welcome to all of you at this great feast of the celebration of the birth of Christ. Hopefully, no husbands got their wives a vacuum cleaner or a frying pan for Christmas. If you did, I don't know if you should go home before asking Father if he can hear your confession. If you got tools for your husband or your father, that will be one of the great acts of love that you can do. Even if it's the fifth cordless drill that he has. I know. There's a very high probability that he will love you for it anyway. Well, joy is all around for those who experience family and friends and food, and there's much of that going on, isn't there, in our culture, within those who are Christians, but in the culture in general. So this is a good thing, because these are things from God, relationship with friends and family and good food. But also, we know that loneliness is all around for those who don't have those things or who have experienced some kind of loss, or for those for whom this time of year reminds them or brings to mind experiences of trauma and loss that they've had in their lives. So it's kind of like a time when we experience the intensity of whatever meaning that we are experiencing in our lives, whatever it is. Christ is born into all of those experiences. All of those emotions, those circumstances, those losses and those gains, those sorrows and those joys. That's why he was born in simplicity, in humility, in vulnerability. You know, we can sometimes feel like we should avoid being vulnerable. We have to survive in a tough world. The risk when we do that is that we will be kind of isolated, because being in relationship requires a little bit of vulnerability. We have to risk if we want meaningful and loving relationships. But Jesus came into the place where he had nothing but his parents at that moment. Well, at a Sunday school, they were putting on a Christmas pageant, which included the story of Mary and Joseph coming to the inn. One boy wanted so much to be Joseph, but when the parts were handed out, he wasn't given that part. He was assigned to be the innkeeper instead. And he was pretty upset about that, but he didn't say anything. During all the rehearsals, he thought what he might do the night of the performance to get even with his rival, who got to be Joseph. Finally, the night of the performance, Mary and Joseph came walking across the stage, and they knocked on the inn door, and the innkeeper opened the door and asked them gruffly what they wanted. And of course, Joseph answered, "Well, we'd like to have a room for the night." And the innkeeper threw open the door wide and said, "Great, come on in, I'll give you the best room in the house." Well, for a few seconds, that kind of threw Joseph off, and he didn't know what to do, but he did think pretty quickly on his feet, and he looked past the door, past the innkeeper, through the door, and he said, "No wife of mine is going to stay at a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn." And just like that, everything was back on track. Well, that barn is the place where the shepherds went to see the miracle that had taken place. The fact that the angels appear to shepherds to announce the good news of the birth of Christ, it means the message is for all people, even the least. That's you and me. Christ has come for us. He's come in a low state, as a vulnerable child in a precarious situation. And the shepherds were, of course, afraid when the angels appeared to them. So the first good news is one of encouragement. Do not be afraid. That message of courage is not a thing, though. Ultimately, that message of courage is a who. It's a person. It is Jesus himself who encourages. So the shepherds go and see Jesus, and when they do, they believe. So to see Jesus in some way, to have an encounter with Jesus, is to be in the presence of the God who is. And if a person is vulnerable at all to that experience, they will be changed. They will be transformed. And maybe even those of us who practice our faith regularly, maybe we're ready for a new encounter with Christ to be transformed. The appearance of Christ in a body changed everything. I think that in our culture we have lost a sense of the divine. This happens from time to time in culture, but I think it's especially true today. When that happens, we don't become more human. We become less human because we don't know where we come from or where we are going, or who we are in between that coming and going, our identity. And it's precisely this event, this entry of God into human history and human flesh, that answers all three of those questions. He came from God, he returned to God, and in between he lived a human life, but united to his divine life, so that we could understand the fullness of blessing that is God's plan for you and I, so that we could experience something of the divine in our human experience, that we could lift up our eyes, as it were, to higher things and therefore be lifted up. Who can say that they don't need to be lifted up? Well, this is the day to celebrate the movement from darkness to light. This is the day of joy, of peace, of courage, and of hope. The prophet Isaiah foretold that, not in today's particular reading, but in one of the other Christmas readings from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A child has been born to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So in our experience of the world, there is darkness, but in him there is no darkness. For God, the greatest earthly darkness is only an opportunity for a far greater heavenly light. Well, I was trying to think of different ways to kind of enter into this experience, and thinking about, you know, we sometimes say, well, this is the birthday of Jesus. And you know that we celebrate birthdays, and we celebrate with parties, and we have gifts, and we do all of those things. Very rarely do we we go back to the beginning and talk about that. In particular, since my father passed away 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, my mother was always good at remembering birthdays. And she took, in recent years, she took to sending out an email to all the family members when it was coming up to somebody's birthday, and she would tell us of the circumstances of our birth. She would tell us, because she would remember the weather that day, you know, whether it was a warm, sunny day or a cold, snowy day. And so she would almost like take us back to that moment of our birth, the five of us children, me the oldest of five boys. And so there would be things like, you know, we had this legend in our family that the brother next to me, that he was born in a taxi cab. He actually wasn't, but there was a kind of a rush there because my father was out of town on business, and it came time for her to give birth to my brother. And it was a little dicey, but the taxi got her to the hospital in time. But that's our family story, right? So we bring that in a way. I love that my mother has done that until recently when she hasn't been able to use email so much. But it kind of brings us back to that moment and brings that moment into the present. And that's what we do with the birth of Christ. The birth of Jesus is not meant to be left in the past and just celebrated as a party. It is meant to be experienced right now in the presence again. Whatever happens in our life or in the world, nothing can disturb the peace that grows in our hearts, because Mary and Joseph at that time said yes to God and brought Jesus into the world, who again is asking, knocking at the door of our hearts, wanting to come into our hearts, to be born again into our hearts this Christmas. Several times, Mary and Joseph each had the experiences which told them that God was acting in a new way. When the poor shepherds came to see what the angels told them about, it says that Mary treasured this experience in her heart. Have you ever had an experience that you treasured? Maybe it was momentary, or maybe it was a big event, and it became a kind of a light in your life. I hope so. We can lose that experience in the darkness, and let's face it, in the busyness, and sometimes too in the many things that we use to amuse ourselves, we can forget those things. So this is a moment, as Christ comes as light into the world, for us to try to recall maybe even the smallest moment where we experience light in our lives, and to know that that was God's plan for us. You know, this is not just a story. It is a story, but it's not a movie about Elf or The Grinch or Charlie Brown or even Santa. It is a historical event that was foretold 100 times. Can you trust it? Well, the historical evidence is significant. Should you trust it? It is everything billions of Christians have believed for 2,000 years. Will you trust it? Well, you and I can make that decision right now, or later today, or tomorrow. I hope we will all give it some thought. The skeptic philosophy of today says that you can't trust anything to be true. Well, what about love? Do we believe in love? What is that, and where does it come from? You know, if God is love, then God is personal, not distant. Once they saw Jesus in person, the shepherds couldn't help themselves. They had to tell people. People must know, they said. May we proclaim his birth with great joy and announce the saving love of Jesus Christ in the daily living of our lives. The child born has come to give us the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of our sins. We need a Savior, don't we? And we need forgiveness of our sins. If we don't get that, then the birth of Jesus Christ will not make much sense, probably. But if we do get that, all of the prophecies, all of God's covenant promises, the church, the saints, the sacraments, the Eucharist itself will make sense because of the light of Christ, which will shine on these things for our benefit and for our salvation and for our blessing, which is God's plan for us. So, brothers and sisters, I don't think there's a better time than right now for us to make room for him, to go and see him, to be lifted up, to be inspired to live a life of joy and hope and peace. So today, let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.